Thoughts on Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 65 to 66. I want to look at this again, this birth of John. And the heading this time is, What Will He Be? Yes, what will he be? That was the thought in the village at that time and in the surrounding district. What will this young baby do? What will become of him? Why has he been born? His parents are beyond age, and it's all remarkable, this birth of his. What was happening? Does this speak of something special? And all the neighbours, all the locals in the hill country are gossiping about this. Did you know that they've had a baby boy down there, John, you know? And all the events, all through Judea here, they're talking about this boy, this infant, this baby, verse 65. Everyone, verse 66. They're all wondering, what, why, what will he do, who is he, what is it all about? And God was with him and in the event, verse 66, and that was the topic of conversation, and quite right too, this is my point, and quite right too, this is something to talk about, this is something to wonder at. This marks the start of the fulfillment of the Old Covenant, that long-expected, promised event, the coming of the Messiah. Now, this is John the Baptist. This is not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. He is very clear about it. I am not the Messiah. Of course he wasn't. But he was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the precursor of the Messiah. He was the one who would go before him and prepare the way for him in the preaching in the desert. This is the watershed of the ages. This is the great divide. We have the days of the Old Covenant, all leading up to the fulfillment that Christ will accomplish, Matthew 5, 17 to 21, and bring in the New Covenant. The law is going to be superseded by the gospel. We see this in this birth of John. And we mustn't minimize this. We mustn't, as the Reformed do, they mingle these two covenants. They're just one covenant of grace, really, and, oh, they're different administrations, not a bit of it. The Jewish people at that time, although they were in the dark about what it actually meant, of course, in the main, we're looking back and see the events. It's all been explained to us as Christ promised by the apostles. We have the letter to the Hebrews, we have Romans, we have Ephesians, we have Philippians and so on. We look back and we can see now. But the Reformed, I'm afraid, so mix these two covenants. They miss this dramatic, this tsunami. This is the point. Let me say that. Think about the weakness of all this, this hill country village and this baby born in this obscure place, and yet it's leading up to the tsunami of the coming of the Christ, the cross, the resurrection, Pentecost, and all the rest. Well, it's just amazing to see how foolish it is to minimize this, how wrong it is to water it down. We need to emphasize it. We need to wonder at it, and we need to proclaim it. Too many make their theology govern scripture, and it's more than rubbish, it's worse than rubbish. This dramatic divide here mustn't be minimized, this stupendous separation, the old covenant fulfilled and superseded by the new, the upper room experience. That's a powerful statement of all this, the cross, the resurrection, and Pentecost. Oh, brother and sister, we look back and we see in that obscure village this momentous event unfolding. They wondered. Well, don't let us come behind in our wonder. Let us stand amazed at this, and then stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.